Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Creature Feature, production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host of Mini Parasites, Katie Golden. I studied psychology and evolutionary biology, and today on the show, it's Creatureween! We're bringing you some spooky species, some ghoulish genuses, tales that will chill you to the beak and bone. From undead fish, killer rodents, and flying zombies, these real stories will send shivers down your spine, if you have one. Discover this and more as we answer the age-old question, can you still be fashionable from beyond the grave? Joining me today is friend of the show, one of the maniacal minds behind the website, 1-900-HOT-DOG, and co-host of the podcast, The Doggaga, The Zone, Robert Brockway. Welcome!
Hey, thank you for pronouncing all of the letters. Nobody ever does that, and I'm offended every time. You did forget 9,000. We put a 9,000 on there to make it extra hard to search.
As anyone who listens to this podcast can attest to, I'm great at pronouncing things, especially Latin names for stuff, and it comes out as a beautiful letters and vowel salad from my mouth.
Dogus zonicus.
Dogus zonicus.
Of course, from the Latin. For the area of dogs. Yes,
right,
that's
exactly,
us.
Exactly. But
thanks
yes.
for having me for a spookoween.
It's spookoween. I should have called you Robert Brockway.
Ah, there it is.
There it is. Remember when we all did that with our names? That was fun. That was innocent times.
That was Twitter, right? Before Twitter. It was fascism.
Yeah, a more innocent time. Oh, there is Sean. I guess I'll let him in.
Oh, Sean's here?
Yeah. Just let him in. I don't know if he's here. He says he's here, but it's his ghost. His spooky ghost.
Oh, that's what he's doing. He's doing a bit.
He's doing a spooky ghost bit. I feel like we're gonna read in the newspaper that he died, but he joined the podcast after he died.
Well, Sean baby? That's a name I haven't heard in nigh on 20 years.
That fella's been
dead the whole time.
There hasn't been a Sean baby here since the great bloodening of 1987.
Some say you can still hear him out there on that old internet.
What's this? We've got... I'm sensing something. It's coming through the fog of my seance globe, my crystal ball. A figure emerges. Who is this? Is this the other co-host of the podcast, The Doggaga-Zone? And one of the other maniacal minds behind the website, 1-900-HOT-DOG. Could this be the legendary ghost whisperer, ghost tickler, SeanBaby.com?
Yes, I'm the legendary ghost tickler. That's what people know me as. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back to tickle the ghosts.
Yeah. Well, we are... truly shocked we reached out to you through this seance. I thought it was a scam, mm-hmm. but here you are.
You have to do it in a ghost voice. Whole podcast. Ghost voice.
Ghost voice.
Wherever there's tickles to be had.
Sean Boo.
There be my fingers.
Sean Boo, baby.
Sean Boo, baby. Welcome, welcome. We are talking about spooky animals on this podcast this time on account of it being the spookiest Halloween of all, Thanksgiving.
Well, I hope they like getting tickled.
Yeah, the ghost tickler. You know, on To Catch a Ghost, where they're like, hey, ghost, why don't you have a seat over here? I'm going to tickle you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, this Zima's for me. I was here to show them the dangers of drinking six Zimas by yourself.
Yeah, that was good. Rest in peace. God, I forgot that guy's name.
Chris Hansen?
Chris Hansen. He's still alive.
Were you talking He's about dead? One of the predators? Herman Touchin' Butts. That was the man's name. He had it legally changed.
Mm. Yeah.
We all should have seen it coming.
Rip in peace. I love those funny tombstones they put up on Halloween. Or they're like, rip in peace, Mr. Butts.
Yeah.
See more asses.
Yeah, we got some of those in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
I meet a lot of squares now as a parent.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, it's hard to like pick your friends group when all your kids go to the same school. And so some of my daughter's friends' parents are like, oh, you gotta see our zany tombstones this year.
Have you ever gone to a haunted house where they put out bowls of cold spaghetti and they're like, ooh,
it's too terrifying.
Spaghetti.
As a ghost tickler, I legally am not allowed near a bowl of cold spaghetti.
Have you ever just busted the fuck up at one of those tombstones? Like, you want to be too good for it because you're a comedian, but then you're like,
no, never.
Classic.
Classic. The second I felt that coming on, I would kick it over.
I split my guts open when I saw a tombstone and it said, here lies the ghost. Dead person, Mr. Butts.
Okay, Butts. That one's pretty good.
Yes, that is good. Today we
the
are...
Square test and I caught both of you.
Yeah. Well, you know, today we are talking about animals who are spooky. Spooky ghosts. We are first going to talk about a fish that can do skin magic from beyond the grave. This is based on a great article... in the New York Times by Elizabeth Ann Brown, or should I say Elizabeth Ann Boo Brown? Okay, I'll stop that starting now.
Please don't.
So this is a fish called the hogfish, the humble hogfish. It is a fish that can do necrotic skin magic.
Oh. So doing some hogskin magic on this fish?
Hogskin magic, tossing the old hogskin fish around. So hogfish are found in the Atlantic Ocean. They are a species of wrasse that is this sort of patchy cream and rusty orange color. It is a boxy, flat, sort of trapezoidal shape with long dorsal spines. It's called a hogfish due to an elongated hog-like snout, which it uses as a shovel to dig for small crustaceans in the ocean floor. They're not small fish. They can grow to be around 25 pounds. That's around 11 kilograms. And they can grow over 3 feet long, which is almost a meter. So, you know, they are interesting fish. I have sent you a photo of this fish. It is on its own not that scary. Unless you're scared of fish, in which case it is pretty scary given that it is a fish.
Definitely am. Definitely scared of fish. Yeah. Especially hogfish.
Yeah. The face is a little unsettling. You know, like that scene in Beetlejuice where Alec Baldwin kind of like stretches his face out? It looks a little like that.
He looks almost exactly like the guy that did piercings at the Central Oregon Mall in 1997.
Huh.
He's got the three little spikes, weird beady eyes, big
That's
old
the
lip.
Guy that did your belly button.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And amongst other things.
Did he do a good job, or did you get like a belly button infection.
Well, the belly button was fine. He actually did a piercing called the hogfish on me, and
Yeah.
And that's left a little. That one was, I lost some sensitivity.
That was big in the 80s. So, you know, this fish, it's pretty typical fish stuff. But they're interesting because when they are born, all hogfish are female, and they are what is called a sequential hermaphrodite, meaning they will change their sex as they mature, depending on environmental conditions. So they become male when they become large or when there is a political opportunity, such as there being no dominant males in the group, and then they switch their sex from female to male and become a dominant breeding male. So, you know, this is so far typical fish stuff.
Very normal stuff.
Exactly.
A political opportunity?
I used to do the same thing in the fraternity.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
whenever it's
politically
hot.
Convenient.
Look, you know, they elect their mayor, and then it becomes sexually male. So.
Exactly. I triple in size.
Yeah.
I get much more masculine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You start, like, being interested in sports. Is that a guy thing?
What I like to do for my sports, I like to take my snout and dig in the ocean floor.
Yeah.
And then I'll eat crabs.
Yeah.
Ghost crabs.
Man, such a guy thing. So
going snouting.
With the bros.
Bros. Going snouting with the bros. So another interesting thing these fish do is they change their color. They can change the color of their skin in seconds. From, say, being a patchy, rusty orange to brown to white, depending on their surroundings, they will change their skin color.
I have a fish question.
Sure.
Can they mix and match? Can you be like, I'm going to be a rusty lady today, or a white fella? Are you locked in?
Always easier on the white fellas.
Always easier. So, yeah, I mean, they're the ability to change their color and their sex are not really super related. They can both change their sex and change their color. Changing their sex is more of a like permanent thing, a change that they will undergo if there is a male power vacuum. Changing their color is something they can do anytime, pretty much. And they do it to camouflage with their environment. So trying to blend in. So, you know, they can't switch back and forth between male and female whenever they want within seconds, but that would be rad.
That would be so rad.
I love that it works like picking classes in Overwatch, like just nobody's playing boy, really.
Right.
Nobody's playing boy.
Right.
I guess I'm not good at boy, but I'll play boy.
Yeah.
We need one boy.
Does anyone want to play boy this time?
No. I know it's not fun.
I played boy last time. It's your turn. Play
when
boy.
When I was first playing Overwatch, I was just, this is just like being a fish. Been there.
Yeah. Well, so they can change much about themselves. Again, this is not like particularly unusual for marine life. There are a lot of marine animals that can change their skin color, although this is not super common for fish. And what is odd is that researchers have noticed that hogfish are able to change their skin color from beyond the grave. So this is where it gets spooky. From a watery grave, because this is the ocean and it's all watery graves.
Behold my rusty hog.
So our marine biologist, Lorian Schweiker, Lorian Schweikert noticed a speared hogfish on the deck of a fishing boat was still able to change its skin color to match the deck of the boat upon which it was impaled.
Wow.
Yeah. Spooky.
Did we check her for paint? Scientists, you can't trust them. That's what they tell me in church.
Yeah. There was, I believe there was, this must have been in the 1800s or early 1900s. There was like some experiment with like mouse skin, grafting skin from one mouse to the other mouse. But then it turned out they just colored the mice with like a pen. So they colored in black markings on the mouse. So that does happen sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's where Steven Seagal learned his hairline.
Yeah, that's right. He glues mice to the front of his face.
Right. It's like Face Off, but you just kind of scribble in those Nicolas Cage eyebrows.
Just draw a Nicolas Cage face over your own face.
Just draw a Nicolas Cage face in Sharpie on your face.
Like, that's how they did the special effects.
Yeah. Now, fortunately, this seems to be absolutely real. She and a group, marine biologist, Lorian Schweikert, and a group of researchers studied the skin and found that underneath the chromatophores, so chromatophores are color-changing cells, underneath these chromatophores, there's a cell type that contains light-detecting proteins. So this is the first time that light-detecting cells have been identified in the skin of a vertebrate. A vertebrate being something that's got a spine. It is similar to the light-detecting cells found in the skin of cephalopods, like squid, like octopuses, cuttlefish. But this is the first time these kinds of cells have been found in a vertebrate. And the positioning of the light sensory cells underneath the chromatophores may be strategic. So the chromatophores, these color-changing cells, are typically a reddish-brown color, which may filter out the abundant blue light in the ocean. And by filtering the excess blue light, they may be more able to accurate the light-detecting cells underneath the color-changing cells may then be able to accurately detect the color of their surroundings with this blue light filter and be able to better match the coloration where they are and camouflage better. And
this works completely independent from like the fish that it's living on.
This is what's weird, right? So after the fish dies, even though the brain has ceased to function, these cells continue to function for some time before cellular decay takes place. So in effect, the skin lives on longer than the actual fish.
So science says the skin is haunted.
It's haunted. Haunted fish skin.
That's what I'm taking away from this.
Yeah.
So if I was to make a toupee of this fish skin, I could have like hair that just changed color.
Yeah.
For, are we talking like hours, days, the rest of my
Beyond
life?
Beyond the grave.
I don't know how long your fish skin toupee would last, whether it'd be hours or days. I would say not that many days. And it would certainly would offer a kind of a unique perfume. But otherwise, I think it'd be very fetching.
But for a special night out, like it would last through that.
For a special night out.
Like, that's good. It's good news. You've given me great news, Katie.
You know, if you want a color-changing fish skin toupee for a special night, I'm not going to say you can't do that. We actually have used fish skin to treat burns in human beings. So, like, using fish skin that has been specially treated, you know, and I believe disinfected, and then you put the fish skin over a burn wound, the fish skin helps to lock in moisture and help with healing by being sort of a it's almost like a better bandage that is more gentle on damaged skin. So, you know, is there a future in
sounds very promising.
Right. Is there a future in which we can choose instead of having like a wig or toupee to graft fish skin onto our heads and maybe keep it alive with our own blood supply without violently rejecting it? Maybe. We are going to take a quick break while I call the police. And when we get back, we are going to talk about carnivorous mice.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, you guys remember that book, Bunnicula, about the vampire bunny?
Yes.
That book was kind of unsatisfying to me because I think it was like the cat was paranoid about this vampire bunny and kept trying to kill it, but because it's a cat, it was stupid, so it thought like a steak meant like a sirloin type steak and like put a steak on top of the bunny, and the bunny was like, what? And then it was like, hey, you were too judgmental, cat, but also it's vague about whether or not the bunny is a Dracula. So I don't know. I didn't understand the books so well. But the point,
above my reading level for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The point is, there are mice that are basically like carnivorous vampires that are actually causing mass destruction and killing innocent birds.
Can we prove those birds are innocent?
You know, birds are innocent until proven guilty, Robert.
Ah, your nanny bird state ethics.
I may just be a simple bird lawyer, but I thought in the country of the United States, birds was innocent until proven guilty.
All birds are guilty.
Actually, this is not happening in the United States. This is happening and Marion Island. It's a small island south of the tip of Africa. In the 1800s, French seal hunters traipsed about this Marion Island and went about killing seals, disrupting things, making croissants out of, like, I don't know, seals, I guess. And they brought with them French house mice, who quickly started running around the island and, you know, making themselves real comfortable. And now they are still invasive on these islands. Even though this island is not inhabited by humans, it is still inhabited by the mice that the French sailors left on the island.
Colonialist vampire mice.
Yeah.
No worst kind of mice.
No mouse is an island, but a bunch of mice can be on an island and be vampires. So
that's the rest of that saying.
Yeah,
I have that pillow.
Yeah, yeah. I have a cross stitch. Live, laugh, vampire mice. So warm weather has caused the invasive mouse population to explode. Unfortunately, sweet. Not explode as in a fiery combustion, but to explode in number. And the mice must compete for food with a limited supply of plants and insects. So they have started to develop a taste for blood, for the blood of birds.
Does anybody have a vampire mouse impression? I don't have that. I don't have that much.
I am a mouse. I don't belong on this island. Blah.
It's me, Mickey Mouse Pyre, and I want to suck your blood and sue you.
Katie's got it.
Woohoo!
Yeah, that's
I'm
it.
Going to suck yep. your blood and then sue you.
Now in Francais.
Litigious colonialist vampire mouse.
Je voulais sue you.
Exploding. Litigious.
So yes, these mice.
Très bien, madame.
What?
I said très bien, madame.
Sacre bleu.
Okay, so these mice want to feed on the blood of these poor birds, these seabirds. There are millions of seabirds who live and breed on the island, including albatrosses, skuas, king penguins, gentoo penguins, crawzish shags, and many more. So a lot of sweet, cute,
beautiful
birds.
Yeah, I didn't picture penguins when you said they're drinking bird blood. I was like, I don't care. Go crazy, mice. But now you're talking king penguins? No.
Now it's penguins.
No, something has to be done.
Yeah.
Something has to be done.
There's something about penguins where it's like, I think humans are so biased towards bipeds. We're like, you walk on your 2 feet and you don't fly.
And their tummy, which is even cuter.
You got a tummy. Any animal that has a tummy, we empathize with.
Any animal that wears a suit,
right.
That wears a little suit, if you can dress up, then you're okay in my book.
I mean,
every day is a black tie event for these tummy sliding best friends.
I think the tummy theory is strong, right? Because some of our most hated animals, like wasps, have the opposite of a tummy. And so we don't like them. But they got a tummy, then we like them. So yeah, these are cute birds. And it's an important area for them to breed in. And so the fact that these mice have developed a taste for bird blood is bad. And you might be asking, how does a mouse eat a bird to death? Well, it does it very slowly and horribly. So the mice will attack chicks or adult birds.
I got this.
What?
They merge to form one man-shaped mouse.
Yeah.
And grab it with its swarm of mice. Mocking our human hands.
I like the logic of the mouse forming like a giant human shape. Like what's more powerful than one mouse? It's a bunch of mice. What's more powerful than a bunch of mice? A human made out of a bunch of mice.
Yeah.
And then we just punch the birds. Well, that would almost be more humane than what these mice do. So the mice will attack these birds. They attack both adults and chicks, and they will just chew away at the bird's skin over days. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, like the mouse can just like chew away at a bird. And the birds have not co-evolved with these mice, so they don't really know what to do. And it's not like these are some of the more... How do I put this gently? These aren't the brightest birds. These aren't like, I talk a lot about how smart parrots and corvids are. These are, they're sweet. They are cute, but maybe they're not the most intelligent birds out there. And so
how would these birds know that they don't like their skin being eaten? They've never had the opportunity in their evolution to have their skin eaten. So they don't know not to like it, of course.
I saw, I think it was a David Attenborough special where it was one of those snakes that has like a bug tail. Mm. And so he's like wiggling his little bug tail
so that
the bird's like, oh, hey, look at that delicious bug. And the bird comes over to get the bug and the snake bites it and totally whiffs. And like the bird's like, did the back end of that bug just turn into a giant snake and try to bite me? And then it sat there hovering and then it went back to get the bug. Like that's how dumb birds are.
Yeah. Some birds. Look, we can't generalize to all birds, but some birds.
Hashtag not all birds.
Hashtag not all birds. But yes, all fish. But actually that snake you're talking about is a viper that lives in the mountains of Iran. And it's cool
Run
that I remember that.
These birds.
It's cool I remember that about it, but I don't remember the name of it. But it is a snake that has a tail that looks kind of like a spider, and then it wiggles it around, and then a bird will like be like, "Ooh, spider." And then the snake tries to get it, and it's like, "Uh-oh, that was scary." "Ooh, a spider." And then the snake tries to get it again. Yeah. So
it's super easy mode. If you already have a spider tail, I feel like you already have one up. And then the fact that the bird does not care if you like miss a few times while you're fighting at him.
Spooky, come on. Spooky Halloween tip. If you just have a bunch of like fake spiders in your pockets, you can just throw them at people and escape. Like if you're in a tough situation and someone...
As the birds attack them.
Yeah. And then you're like, spiders. Now you've got spiders on you. Then you have time to get away while all the birds try to eat those spiders.
Smart.
Yeah. So, the mice will basically just like sneak up on a bird while it's asleep and start chewing on its skin. And even if the bird like wakes up, essentially the mice kind of break the Geneva Conventions, like they commit war crimes by continually disrupting the bird's sleep until the bird is just so exhausted that it kind of like it can no longer like keep waking up and trying to knock the mouse off. And so the mouse just like chews its skin off. I've sent you a photo, the most sort of the least gory photo I could find of this, of a mouse just sitting on one of these birds, attacking it.
Didn't get this doc. I'm actually really glad I didn't get this doc.
It's a photo of a mouse sitting on the head of an albatross chick, it looks like. And what it's doing is it is eating its scalp off. You can't really see that in this photo. But I have looked at the other photos where it's essentially this poor little bird that's been scalped by a mouse. Because like when I first read about these mice where it's like, yeah, these mice like bite these birds. I'm like imagining sort of just like little bite marks on the bird. I was not imagining a bird just having an entire chunk of skin missing in this like really horrific way. So it is actually kind of disturbing.
Yeah. And yet in this photo, if you have kind of bad eyesight, which I do, it just looks like a bird cosplaying as Dan Rather. Like it's got
like a little
just some
hair piece. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just got like a real nice coiffed velvety kind of poof.
Yeah.
Distinguished bird.
Are we sure it's not symbiotic where like the bird just understands how good it looks now?
Are you asking and is like, if this is a ratatouille situation where the ratatouille is actually eating its scalp as well as helping it cook food?
With the ladies. With like the bird ladies.
Right, with the bird ladies. Like, you know, now you're going to want to go and ask her what her name is. Can I eat
and
this?
In exchange,
can I eat this?
Take a little bit of skin.
Chunk of
so it's
flesh?
A Serrano de Bergerac ratatouille.
Right.
But he's also eating the human head.
Now that's a crossover I'd like to see. So, yeah, they are a problem for these birds. And conservationists want to get rid of these mice because, they are actually a big threat to some of these bird species on this island. And so they are trying to, they are going on like a big Tom and Jerry style mouse hunt where they are, they're pulling out all the stops. They've caught up Tom and been like, "Hey, Tom, what's some of the ideas that they didn't let you use in those cartoons because they were so heinous?" So they are using poison grain to try to kill these mice, which is tricky. Because most of the seabirds, while most of them actually eat fish, there are some species that are more omnivorous, so the bird might eat the grain. So conservationists are actually collecting the birds that eat grain, putting them in like protective bird jail while they spread poison grain for the mice to eat. And then once the mice have presumably eaten the poison grain, then they release the birds from protective bird jail.
So I was right in that all birds are guilty.
I mean,
and they go to bird prison.
Look, I said bird jail, and you're still presumed innocent when you're in jail.
It's quite
a technicality.
You know nothing of bird law. You know nothing of bird law.
You were born into it.
So what happens? If the poison grain doesn't work, what's plan B?
Plan B? I don't know. Like, I guess hammers?
See, that's what I was thinking.
Tie all the birds together into one big bird to fight the big mouse.
Helmets for the birds. Helmets and body armor.
I feel like we've solved it. You take the hammers. The birds have helmets. Just go crazy with the hammers. Just drop hammers out of helicopters. Do whatever you want because the birds have the helmets. You can't hurt a bird.
Right.
With a hammer.
No.
We're on to something. We'll get it.
Have like a movie that's like mouse film for mice. Birds aren't going to be interested in this movie. Then all the mice go to the tiny mouse cinema. And then you go
where you drop hammers on.
Then you go Quentin Tarantino on it.
What about rat terriers? They're so adorable.
They are cute.
And I don't know if you've ever seen a rat terrier go to town, but they'll just grab a rat, shake it till it's dead, and drop it. They have no more interest in it. They don't want to eat it or present it to anyone. They're just bred to murder rats. So I guess you'd need to breed smaller terriers. How adorable would that be? Like a mouse terrier?
I mean, a rat terrier might go after the mice, not the birds. Might not be a bad idea.
That's what I mean. You put cats on the island, the cats are going to kill all the birds.
Right.
Crazy idea. But a rat terrier, they're trainable.
They're accountable.
Budding serial killers onto the island to take care of all the rat terriers.
Right. Okay. So then, but how do you get rid of the budding serial killers? Then you got to release the flesh-eating mice. Now you've just
4chan. You release a 4chan onto the island, and they'll all become preoccupied with it, and will no longer venture outside to kill.
Makes sense. All right, we've solved it. Good job, boys. Conservation achieved. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we return, we're gonna talk about flying zombies. They fly now.
They fly now?
They fly now.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back, and we're talking about flying zombies. I feel like...
I'm against them.
You're against them. I feel like the zombie genre, has a lot of, like, iterations of zombies. Like, these are zombie Nazis. This is a zombie that you're in love with. This is a stormtrooper Nazi. Wait, no, sorry. Right. A zombie
That's a real one.
Stormtrooper.
I agree. There's too many hooks. Zombies have too many hooks.
A zombie Nazi stormtrooper who you can fall in love with. So the whole zombie thing. But you know what I haven't seen? I haven't seen flying zombies in movies yet. You know, like just a zombie that can Superman around.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's the final frontier for just wringing every last drop of content out of zombies. But there is actual zombie flies. So probably a lot of you, and especially people who listen to this show, or if you've seen or played The Last of Us, you're probably familiar with cordyceps fungus that infects sure. ants, and the ants go a little bit nuts, a little batty, and then crawl away. And then the cordyceps grows out of their bodies. And that's all horrible. We've talked about that before. But I've got another one for you. There is a different type of fungus that attacks flies. So the fungus Entomophora muscae, also known as insect destroyer, infects Whoa. A variety of flies, including house flies and fruit flies.
I mean, good. Nobody likes those bugs.
I'm going to...
It's a sweet name. I can't be against it.
Yeah.
Insect
destroyer.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, just insect destroyer. I would, if I was marketing for the fungus, like if mm-hmm. the fungus hired me to market, I would go with insect destroyer in like a heavy metal font.
Yeah.
And I would really embrace.
Destroyer.
If I saw a bag of it at the grocery store.
Destroy them.
Yeah. If I had a bag, my wife bought one of those little plants, the pitcher plant
to
catch the flies. And she is super pissed off that it has not diminished the fly population. Mm. But if I had a bag of fungus that I could just release into the air, turn them all into zombies, mm-hmm. just have 3 or 4 days of zombies.
Become theoretically, one with they would fungus.
That is how all zombie movies start, though.
Yeah.
You realize that. They're like, if I could just release all of this and get rid of whatever I want to get rid of, then surely everything will work. Oh, no, zombies. Like, that is how you get zombies historically. Yeah. Like that's how you get ants when you release sugar.
Yeah.
That's how you get zombies.
Look, you can either put some red wine vinegar in a cup and then put plastic wrap on the top and poke some holes in it, or you can release this fungus. And the releasing of the fungus sounds a lot more fun. Although, I feel like maybe by the end of this, you might have like a shred of sympathy for these flies. So, first,
okay, let's hear it.
Open your mind and your heart to the flies. First, the fungus lands on a fly via spores. The spore then invades the fly's hemolymph. So hemolymph is bug blood, essentially. So the fungus feeds on the fly's hemolymph and fat tissue. Then the fly's mind is influenced by the fungus, and it is driven to climb upwards and upwards. Its body is riddled with the fungus. Then it is induced somehow by the fungus. Now, researchers don't know exactly how the fungus is doing this, but the fly sticks out its proboscis. That's its little tube-like mouth thing, the little like weird tiny elephant trunk thing that flies have that they use to suck up food. It sticks this out onto the surface, and it oozes this like sticky saliva that is probably infused with some kind of sticky fungal compound, and this drool actually forms like a glue. So it's glued from its like by the mouth onto the surface that it's on. And so now the fly is stuck. And then the fly is for some reason compelled to extend its wings in this like upright position that's kind of unnatural for it. And now the fly has essentially become this fixed in place, perfect substrate for the fungus to grow and spread. And just hours later, the fly has grown this fluffy white coat. And this coat is actually fungal filaments, which will grow spores at the tips. Importantly, the reason that the fly's wings are now stuck in this like weird upright position is to clear the way for the spores to fire off of the fly's body. So now these spores that are all growing out of the fly's body can basically pop off like popcorn or fireworks and then hopefully land on another victim who will go through the exact same thing.
You're right. This is a nightmare.
Yeah.
It turns them into James Brown, kind of. Like, you bend down, you kiss the dirt, stick your stick your legs up, stick your wings up, you put on a big white fluffy coat.
The other guy comes in, throws a cape on you. You throw the cape off, you're not done. You got more to do.
Yeah.
And that cape infects and creates other James Browns, as we well know from history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on board with this so far. I think this whips ass.
Team Fungus, I think. I think I'm agreeing.
Team Fungus. We're all Team Fungus. I would like to see a zombie movie where basically a zombie just sort of bites a wall and then starts growing a coat. Then sticks its arms out in like Superman position, and then the coat starts like just shooting off spores. That'd be fun.
Would it be a bit? If I saw that, I'd be like, "This is a bit much, zombies."
Yeah.
Come on.
It's a little dramatic.
It's a little Hannibal Lecter. It's like, "Witness the majesty of my death." You're like, "Take it easy."
I feel like the groaning and the moaning is already a little melodramatic. Like, we get it. You're dead, but you're moving around. Understood.
I just don't think you're going to sell a lot of popcorn at that movie.
If
the theaters aren't going to like it. Mm. They make most of their money off of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not going to sell a lot of like sauteed mushrooms, like a nice cup of sauteed mushrooms at the theater.
Right. Like, they're not going to sell a lot of fungal spores at the movie theater, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I love cup of spores here. Get you a cup of spores.
Ice cold cup of spores.
I don't know why he's at a movie theater. Ball game was rained out at the movies now.
That's what happens at modern cinema. Got someone walking through the aisles, screaming.
Yelling,
hot dogs, get your 3D glasses and your fungal spores.
Watch out for Nicole Kidman. Her hair is being blown back. Wonder of cinema.
Yes, the magic of cinema. Well, so yeah, this is the fate of this poor little fly. Gets turned into a mere vessel for the fungal spores. And it literally just has to like kiss the ground and die.
It's zero empathy for the flies.
Still don't like the flies.
Still don't like the flies.
It's because it doesn't have a cute little tummy, isn't it?
No, it's because my adorable little dog is deathly afraid of flies for no reason we can determine, and I'm on her side on this. So if I could release this fungus and encourage it to destroy all flies, I'd do it for her.
One of the few insects I truly hate are ticks because of them being mean to my dog. Like, I'm like, how dare you be on my dog and hurt her? I will exact vengeance. You will be contained in a bottle and drown in alcohol, which sounds good, but trust me, it's not.
I mean, there are worse ways, I guess.
It's rubbing alcohol. It's not like I drowned them in a really nice sort of.
We don't all have standards.
Nice chocolate lager.
We were all teenagers once.
Well, listen, before we go, and you can go about your ghoulish daily activities, we do got to play a little game. It's called the Mystery Animal Sound Game. Guess who's squawking every week? I play a spooky and scary mystery animal sound, and you, the listener, and you, the guest, try to guess who is squawking. So last week's mystery animal sound hint was this. This ferocious wild carnivore would eat you if only it didn't fit inside your pocket.
I actually know this one.
Yeah?
That is Hall of Fame pitcher Randy Johnson.
Ah, how did you know? No,
fits right in your pocket.
Fits right in your pocket.
Little Randy.
Little Randy. Little Pucker Randy.
That's what they call him.
Yeah.
And he would kill you if he had the chance. Be so thankful. Be thankful he's so wee.
Bloodthirsty.
He did kill a bird that one time.
Oh, with the ball? Was that when he hit a bird with a ball?
Yeah, he hit a bird with a ball and
was
exploded.
Was that bird presumed guilty before being proven innocent?
Yes.
That bird went to trial. He had one appeal.
Jury and bird executioner. No, this is not that sports guy you just said. This is something else. This is called the Rusty Spotted Cat. It is the smallest cat in the world, and it is totally, it is like the size of a kitten, and yet it is a full-grown wild cat.
Oh my God, and you did not send us pictures of, I'm gonna
Google it.
I'm gonna go look Google this it. Up.
Yeah.
Google it. You will be happy.
Randy.
Oh, he's
Johnson.
So cute.
Oh, Randy, he is adorable.
The little round ears and the big eyes. And that's as big as they get?
That's as big as they get. That's it. They are found in India and Sri Lanka. And it is absolutely adorable.
Why didn't we pick other cats to keep? Why didn't we just get this cat?
Why didn't we get this
and
cat?
Then call it good?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we made a mistake. We need to go back in time. And instead of using a time machine to, like, prevent some of the world's greatest atrocities, we should go back in time and domesticate this little guy. He's so cute.
I think that would prevent some of the world's greatest atrocities.
Agreed.
I don't think Hitler would have done what he did if instead of the German Shepherd, he had this tiny little fella in his pocket.
That or this little cat was going to kill baby Hitler.
Yep.
Or
you could sneak
win.
Into Hitler's bunker with like 15 of these in your pocket.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, it's very nice to see you, Fuhrer. And then boom, cats cover him.
Right.
Whip out your trench coat and they all just explode out of all the secret pockets of kitties that you have knit inside of there.
Yes. I mean, they are.
Swarm!
They are adorable. They are indeed sort of rusty and spotty. They've got little streaks. They've got little white tummies.
They look like they can't wait to hear a secret.
Yeah. They look like they would sit on your shoulder and whisper in your ear. Mm-hmm. Like,
give you a little
things
quest.
Like, kill him. Kill him for me.
And you'd do it.
I would absolutely do it. If this little guy sat on my shoulder telling me to go kill people at his whim, not going to say I'm not going to do it.
As long as they're all Hitlers.
As long as it's all Hitlers. They're like,
they are, trust me.
There is another Hitler there. You must kill it. Like, that looks like a normal person. No, definitely not. You should go kill him.
God damn it, Randy Johnson. This is the last time. Little Randy Johnson, I've named my cat.
But yeah, it likes to live in the forest. It is very shy.
In your pocket.
And in your pocket. No, actually, that's the sad thing, is it's extremely shy. Probably the reason that our cats were domesticated from the African wildcat is that the African wildcat is a little more chill, a little more curious. This one is extremely shy, probably because it's so small. You know, it's like, I'm a little guy. I gotta be shy.
Understandable.
Yeah. It'll eat rodents. It'll eat birds, frogs, insects.
Only
reptiles.
The small ones, though.
Yeah, the little ones.
Now, if you showed me a picture of this thing on one of those big penguins just eating its skin, I'd be much more conflicted.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'd be like, you know what? I'll let you have it. You can take over the island. So cute. I mean, that's essentially what we've done with cats, though. We were like, you're cute. You can be invasive on this island, on this territory, and kill all the birds and indigenous species here.
If we could develop a saddle small enough, we could put that on the penguin.
Mm.
Penguin slides on the tummy. Kitty cat rides on the penguin.
Yeah. You know what? Look.
End of plan.
I know that it's been a mistake every single time we've introduced a species to try to take care of another invasive species.
Maybe we're right.
It's been a mistake. But maybe this time, right? Because it's so small, I don't see how it's going to eat an albatross. And but it's not so small that it couldn't eat a mouse that's eating an albatross. You see where I'm going with this? I know every single time we've done this, it's had a terrible outcome. I think we should try it again.
What's the worst that could happen? We lose some albatrosses and get an island of adorable kittens?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just swarming with kittens, the only life form left.
Yeah.
Just 4 feet deep, wading through adorable kittens.
And the great thing is there's no kind of saying about like running into a folly that has anything to do with albatrosses. Like, it's not like when something happens where it becomes a big problem for you.
No, yeah, there's no sayings
there's
about
There's no saying that vis-a-vis albatrosses. So,
the saying is, hit in a day, terrific job.
Right, that's the saying. So on...
It's like my mom always said, like, you never trust a tiny kitten. The tinier the kitten, the less trust, is what she said.
Is that mm-hmm. what your mother said?
Yeah, she had some medication problems, though. Mm.
Was this your, like, you came home from school one day, and you're like, I got a B on my math test. And she's like, never trust a kitten.
Yeah, I have been looking for them ever since, these kittens that curse your math test.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, moving on to this week's Mystery Animal Sound. The hint is this. When he's crabby, he's happy.
Kawasaki Crotch Rocket.
Yes. I usually try to be coy about it, of like, maybe you're right, but no, you're absolutely wrong.
I didn't get it.
The first in history, you won't even be polite about it.
Politeness is earned. And boys, you haven't earned it. So, no, that is incorrect.
Skateboarding walrus.
Closer, I guess. But you will find out the answer on next time on this very show. On next creature feature. Fellas, thanks for being on, I guess.
That's they usually cut that part in the podcast, but yeah, we get that. We get that a lot.
It happens.
Thank you, I suppose. Where can people find you?
Take it away, Brockway. You're a much better plugger.
They can find us on our website, 1900hotdog.com, which is the last home for internet comedy. If you like reading and laughing at text with occasional images, that's it. go to patreon.com/1900hotdog. We're the last ones doing it, and we'll never stop. And you can also find us on our new podcast, Big Feats, where we watch every episode of Mountain Monsters along with our co-host, Jason Pargin. It's a hillbilly monster hunting reality show. It is lots of fun. Big Feats.
Big Feats.
Plug completed.
How many?
I have nothing to add.
Is this like, I mean, this sounds like a podcast that Quentin Tarantino is definitely going to be a guest on.
You will get some Quentins.
All right. Well, thank you guys for being on the show, and thank you, the listener, for allowing the show to enter your ear holes. If you are enjoying the ear hole experience and you leave a rating and or review, I would be very appreciative. I read all of the reviews, and I look at all of the ratings, every single one. And thank you to the Space Cossacks for their super awesome song, Exolumina. Creature Feature is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts like the one you just heard, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or guess what? I don't know. Wherever you listen to your favorite shows, I'm not your mom. I'm not your dad. Not even your uncle. I might be your aunt. We don't know. See you next Wednesday.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations, prepared to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.